My name is Joe Rigney, Fellow of Theology at New St. Andrews College. The Bible tells us that there are two fundamental ways to live, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, the way of the wise and the way of the fool, God's way and the world's way. And every one of us must choose which way to follow, which way to live. We make this choice every day of our lives. This summer at the CALLED Conference in Moscow, Idaho, I want to clarify this choice for you. Using the first chapter of the book of Romans, we'll explore the two ways in terms of worship and glory, in terms of manhood, womanhood, sexuality, and in terms of our relationships with other people. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And the pleasure of God is revealed upon all godliness and righteousness of men, who by their righteousness celebrate the truth. The choice of ways is before you. I hope to see you there.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Cross Politics on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Pastor Toby Tuck Knox, I'm the water boy. And we got the good doc.
The good doc.
Doctor, you know, Doc Engelston.
What kind of doctor?
Like egg, not eeg.
Right. Mind doctor, heart doctor, what kind of doctor we do?
I was an eye surgeon.
You know, it's funny. I can't see that well, Doc. No. I'm glad you're here.
Well,
we're going to do this live.
Can
you read this E?
That's been my problem.
Well, what can't you see so well?
Well, we really going to do this. Okay. Small text. Is everybody strengthen your eyes? Okay.
You guys can finish this a little bit later.
Yeah.
Backwards planning financial. Are you thinking differently about your family's finances and resources while others worry about surviving the next paycheck? The hand of the diligent will rule while the slothful will be put to forced labor. That's from Proverbs. Train your mindset to see where God is moving, where to invest, where to build, so you can create, protect, and pass on your wealth like a Christian. What's your plan to use your economic power? Joe Garisi with Backwards Planning Financial coaches his clients to make this kind of impact on their world for generations by integrating investments, debt, insurance, tax-efficient strategies, and legacy planning. Go to Backwards Planning Financial. That's backwardsplanningfinancial.nm.com, like New Mexico, but not nm.com, to connect with Joe today.
That's good. I think a lot of our advertisers and corporate partners are going to be at our conference in Prodigal America in October. So you guys can even meet Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Out there and talk to him about all this stuff.
I like how you doing another plug on top of that.
Come
to the conference. Meet Joe.
Come to the conference. Yeah. ProdigalAmerica.com. We're grateful to have Dr. Richard J. Eggleston. He's in the house with us
he
today.
He said it better than I did.
He's about to give Chocolate Knox an eye exam live on the show.
It's this one, Doc.
I thought it was the prostate you wanted to check.
We ain't doing that live on the show.
Wow. I thought you was an eye doctor. I don't trust my eye doctor.
That's true.
He's a retired ophthalmologist, but apparently can do other things too. He's from Clarkston, Washington, just 30 miles south of here. He's also a veteran of the military.
Right. Really?
What service did you serve in?
I was a flight surgeon in the Army.
Okay.
I was in during NOM, but I was not in NOM.
Okay.
They gave me a hardship tour in Europe.
Okay. All right. You received his medical degree from University of Kansas School of Medicine and had been in practice for more than 20 years. He's currently a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the state of Washington regarding the violation of First Amendment rights. So, Doctor, it's great to have you on Cross Politics.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and thank you for the invite.
And you are in a lawsuit against the state of Washington.
Right. Could I interrupt your flow and comment about some of the things you guys talked about earlier?
Go ahead.
You were referring to our previous show yesterday.
I'm just talking about what you guys were doing.
With Richard Dawkins?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the simple thing with Dawkins is, you know, he said he was a Christian until he heard of Darwin, and then that made everything sensible to him.
Right.
And the thing with him is that when he believes in evolution, what that happens every time there's a mutation, there's a loss of DNA information.
That's right.
But for him to say that things evolved into a new being, that requires new information, new DNA.
Right.
And the only way that is done is with an intelligent being.
Right.
And
right.
and we know that computers require intelligence and some kind of human direction. Well, to put DNA information in requires some kind of information or ability that isn't there unless it's a god.
That's right. And that's genetic entropy, where our DNA gets worse over over generations, basically.
It strikes me that even just his thoughts about, like, you know, how he likes Christian music and Christmas carols and cathedrals. I mean, that itself is an evidence of that point. Like, you don't get these beautiful edifices without intelligence.
Just to go back to what David said about there's this interest in these cultural things like these cathedrals. Well, that's evident by France when they rebuilt Notre Dame Cathedral.
Right.
You know, that could have just sat there and been destroyed, but they realized that there was something very important for their well-being spiritually and whatever.
Well, Doc, also, you know, if it would have sat there long enough, eventually would have evolved back together. They just rushed the process.
Just like everything gets built that way.
Well, you're an eye doctor, and I remember I read Darwin's Black Box. Have you ever read that before? By a guy named Behe.
He
actually uses the eye.
Right.
The eye is an example of this principle of what he calls irreducible complexity.
Right.
Where you can't, like, it's not like you can, like, get, you know, 85% or 90% of all of the ingredients in an eye to come together.
And it works.
And it doesn't function. Work. Yeah, without, you know, according to the doctrines of Darwinism, is like it needs to have a use.
Right. Well, but it has to be there all at the same time. That's why this thing from lizards to birds doesn't work, because you can't have feathers there for a billion years, and then all of a sudden you get the hollow bones that let you fly. It's all got to be there at the same time.
Right.
And then this one other thing about Darwin, he said, you know, I look at the world or the universe, and I see this thing where there's no use for anything. You might as well not exist because there's no God or anything. But the rest of us look at it and say, well, this is divinely designed. And without it, and without all these 50 or 60 or 70, 100 or physical characteristics that have to all be there, the universe wouldn't exist and we wouldn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
So it's
pretty astounding. It's pretty astounding.
But he's the one that should be mocked and stuff.
Yeah, I know, right?
Aren't you sure you're not an apologist instead of an eye doctor?
Yeah. Well, I read a lot. That kind of gets into why I come up to the lawsuit of how and why am I writing these things. You know, I've always read a lot. I love reading.
That'll get you in trouble.
First problem.
And so when I was retired for 5 or 6 years, you know, I was doing the usual things guys do when they're retired. You know, I play golf and everything, but I got boring after a while. And so late November of 2020, the Tribune realized that they were too leftist, and they intentionally looked for a couple more, 2 or 3 conservative writers. And so I had written something before the 2016 election, not mentioning the two candidates, but just outlining what their positions were. And so I didn't quote endorse anybody, but it was clear who was the right person. So anyway, I published that myself and paid for it in the Tribune before the election. It was like late September or so. And so in November, like I said, they requested Doc or somebody to write on a conservative thing. And so I submitted what I had written before, and they knew what I had written. And they said, well, this is what we like, so we'd like to have you write. So that's how I got started. But the night before I sent in my resume or my information or interest or whatever, I was sitting at my chair, and before I pushed the button on my the send button on there, you know, I really thought, now, am I really supposed to be doing this? I said, you know, God, I like to read. I like to know. But I think you want me to do something with this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I tell people this. They don't believe it. But it almost felt like my finger was pushed to send that.
So you wrote so this is back in 2020. COVID's going crazy. Everyone's going crazy. The Tribune's going so crazy. They're asking for a conservative writer. And you wrote this article kind of outlining what you believed COVID was and kind of maybe some alternative treatments that you think would work. Is that what the article was?
Well, about? Not the first one. Okay. It was something like that. The first one was, you know, I explained that doctors and scientists are no different than anybody else. There's as many crooks and good people in there as in the general population. There's right. some that are in it just for money.
That's the truth.
There is yeah. some in it for the pride and yeah. and the ability to control people. But
How dare you?
But there are most docs are really interested in trying to do the right job. But yeah. we do have these that are, like I said, power hungry or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was your first
kind of COVID article.
Yeah.
Just
about like the doctors are human.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
And then did you get challenged already with your licensing?
No, not then.
Okay.
Not then. But my second article was very definitive about COVID and stuff. And the first year there was like 13 articles because there's two in October usually.
Okay.
And so about seven or eight of those were a lot of them on COVID.
Okay.
And in September, an article I wrote, there's a guy that lives up here in Moscow or Genesee or so.
Okay.
He didn't like what I wrote. So he wrote the first thing to the commission saying, you know, this guy's putting bad information out and he's going to hurt people and you should take his license and stuff.
What's his name?
Well, I can't tell you.
I'm going to look it up.
At this point, anyway. But so as I expected, when I started to write these things, I knew there would be some kind of commission involvement. I was on the commission, the medical commission, for 6 years.
In Washington?
Yes, for two, three-year terms.
Wow.
And so I kind of knew how it worked. And the commission does have a valid reason to exist because there are things that happen to patients that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And they should have an outlet to get some kind of information or result
about
why this happened. And so that's why I served on that. And there was a few docs that didn't do things right. And we talked about that and they had problems. But this thing is right after COVID really got started, a thing called the Federation of State Medical Boards. This is the federation that controls all the 70 medical units in the United States in the possessions. It controls docs and PAs, and they put out a position statement that we don't want anybody talking against the COVID narrative, and we want you to go after the medical docs and PAs wow. that are saying this kind of stuff.
Wow.
And that was in 21. Okay. And so this was taken up with vigor by the Washington Medical Commission.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so... You know, they sent me a request, or not a request, but a, you know, thing that I had to answer, about the charges. Mm-hmm. And the charges were that I was, showing moral turpitude because I was saying things that weren't accepted at that point.
Wow.
And that's one of the things they repeated several times right. is that you are, you know, setting a bad example and showing people what medicine is not like or what it should not be like versus what I am doing is what medicine should be like, to be able to present ideas that are different. Cause that's the way medicine's always been. You get ideas, you develop a thesis, so to speak. You gather information and you publish it, and then you have debate about it.
Right.
You know, what do you think? Why is this wrong? But with COVID, there was no debate. You couldn't even get things published.
Right. What were you saying?
Well, I was saying that the vaccines don't work, that they are dangerous because they're an mRNA type of thing, which, and they said that, well, that can't happen because there's no such thing as what's called reverse transcriptase. That's an enzyme that allows RNA, which is made by DNA, it's, to reverse and have the RNA go back and influence the DNA.
Right.
Which it can do.
Right.
And why that happens, there's a lot of discussion about it. There's things like, much of the human genome is, virus particles from our exposure over the decades and centuries. And,
interesting.
And so there's actually much of the DNA of our genome is those particles.
Wow.
It's not as much of the information as we think, but the DNA is so incredibly complex. And there was this statement, I can't remember the guy's name, I wrote it in one of my articles, that said when the DNA complexity and how that worked become known, this whole concept of evolution should have just stopped and fallen on its face right there because,
yeah.
like I said, you can't put new information in to make new tissues
right.
without without somebody doing that. So anyway, to get up to why, to the time of the, of the suit. So, we've gone back and forth with my attorney on this with the commission, and we were going to have a hearing, about this. And there's no reason for the commission to go after me because I'm retired.
Uh-huh.
Although I have an active retired license,
right,
that would give me the ability to resume practice if I needed to, if there was some kind of national emergency or something like that, that they needed all the docs they could get.
Right.
But I also kept it so I could be able to talk to the commission if they ever came to that and hopefully be able to give them some input. But I at the time didn't realize that they were working under NACES Federation of State Medical Board's directive that they should go after people.
Wow.
And so even if we were to have a hearing, it's pretty much what, we know it would be. They would have the foregone conclusion that I was doing things wrong.
It's a kangaroo hearing.
Yeah. Yep.
So, apparently part of what they were going after is that you questioned the existence of COVID-19.
Well, I questioned the existence of a wild COVID-19.
Okay.
It's pretty clear that this, by Fauci's payment and backing and everything, that there was enhancement of a natural virus.
Mm.
And there's a sequence of amino acids that are not anywhere in nature, but they were incorporated into this COVID vaccine. And so, they don't want that information out. And as you know, there's such a cooperation between the federal government and all the media to suppress information.
I don't know what you're talking about. You don't. I don't know what he's talking about. So, never heard that. Yeah. I don't agree.
We've never been censored on YouTube.
Yeah.
Government is good to us. Yeah. Real good to us.
Yeah. So a lot of the main good docs, they'd put out a video or talk, and it would be censored. It would be knocked off of all the things.
Yeah.
And there's a number of these super smart guys, much smarter than I am about all this, that have – one of them is like Dr. Malone, who's one of the developers of the RNA.
Robert
You've
Malone?
Had him on?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great man. He came here?
No, he didn't come to the studio. We just had him on via Zoom.
Oh, awesome. He's a super man. So we get to the point where they're going to have this kangaroo thing, which, like I said, we would participate, and there would have been numerous good docs. And we tried to get Dr. Malone. I don't know if he was going to be available or not.
To testify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the attorney that's working with us from the CHD, that's Kennedy's group,
Okay.
He told my attorney and me, because that's when we all kind of got together, he said, this is the exact kind of case I've been looking for my entire career.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Is a medical case that's not a medical treatment.
Yeah.
It is, does the doc have the right to say things as a free speech and First Amendment rights?
Yeah.
And for 75 years, the Supreme Court and other federal courts have upheld that right, that we can have soapbox speech.
Yeah.
And not be impaled or stopped by it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, a temporary injunction that was put on against the commission by the appeals court in Spokane gave the attorney general and the commission a very good warning that this is First Amendment rights.
Wow.
Be very careful.
Yeah.
So this suit has been filed by CHD and attorney Rick Jaffe.
You just filed this lawsuit against the commission like 3 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually against the attorney general and the commission.
Yeah. Okay.
And, I've got to know John Stockton in the past. Well, after in January of 22 is when I met him, and I gave him a stack of all the stuff I'd written in 2021, and because I'd seen him on the podcast too. I said, this guy's smart, he knows stuff.
And we're talking about John Stockton,
the Hall of Famer,
the former basketball
Hall of Famer.
Right.
I reached out to him trying to get him to join us today.
Yeah, well, he's over in Europe now.
Oh, okay. So, no wonder he didn't respond.
He's a little busy.
With his kids. So, instead of having me be the lead, which I think is really a good thing, because if something were to happen to me and, if I quote suddenly committed suicide,
you're not feeling suicidal.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Then actually the suit would die. but it's based upon John and others as a civilian, as a non-medical person, having the right to be able to get information.
Yeah, I see.
And and you can't get it if your doctor can't tell it to you, because he's going to be lose the license or be just be jeopardized in some way.
Interesting. So you're hitting both sides. Your right to speak,
right,
and also their right.
John's right to get information.
Information.
Right. There's two other docs directly involved with it too. And as soon as this gets to the hearing stage, or actually in the court, we're going to demand from the commission the names of all the docs that they have persecuted.
Yes.
For being able, for saying things.
For speaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be at least 50 or 60 other doctors named as plaintiffs in this. What? So this is apparently going to be sometime in late May when this happens, and it'll be up to the federal court in Spokane where this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Let me read this ad, and then I want to follow this up some more. You guys are aware that we have a new app, right? If not, you should download it right now. Head on over to your favorite app store, whatever you use on your smartphone. Type in Cross Politic, Fight Laugh Feast, or just Pub TV. Once you find the app, you may need to update your old app if you had one, or if you have a Droid phone.
If you have a Droid phone, just take it and go to the store, buy you an Apple, or fix your problem.
Maybe just delete it and just re-download it. That's cheaper.
Well,
once downloaded, you'll be able to view or listen to all our content right on your mobile device. As always, if you'd like to sign up for our pub membership, you can head over to fightlaughfeast.com. That's fightlaughfeast.com. But you can download the app and get access to our daily shows and all the other shows on the Fight Laugh Feast network right away. But if you're a pub member, then there's some special content for you.
So, Doc, I got to ask, you're suing them.
You're right.
What do you want them to do?
Well,
if you win the case, what is it that you're wanting?
Well, first of all, they got to stop what they're doing.
They're still doing this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's even with the knowledge that this is a strong First Amendment case, they are still going after it. And the warning that the appeals court gave them, they said, be very careful about going after this kind of a case.
Well, and they were not deterred at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, did they suspend your license or take it away?
They just wanted me to say, yes, I'm wrong. And I wrote one of the articles I wrote, which says, well, yes, I wrote that stuff, but I'm not wrong.
They want you just to say that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And essentially apologize. So that would mean that everything I wrote was false as far as my belief in it. And so no way that's going to happen,
So is that still like pending, or are they just putting pressure on you?
Well, like I said, there's still a couple of phases in this. One is we may still be going back to the commission hearing about whether my license is going to be in any way affected.
Yeah.
But this First Amendment case is a federal case, should take precedent. And if this thing gets settled the way we expect it to and want it to be, which every one of you should be happy that goes that way, and everybody listening, then you're going to be able to get true advice and information from your docs. I can't tell you the number docs that tell me, you know, I wish I could say. And when I first started writing these articles in 21, I got emails from docs in the United States and Canada, England, France, Brazil, New Zealand and Australia, saying, we keep on writing, we wish we could say the same thing, but we can't. And then I got the same thing from patients and people from all those countries, plus at least half the states.
Wow. So they didn't feel like they could say the same thing because they felt like that they clamped
down
on them.
Because they knew something was wrong and they couldn't get information from their docs. The patients. And so I showed that to the publisher of the paper, and I showed him all these results because I know he's never gotten mail from an opinion like they did on this case and this thing. And they continue to keep getting these letters from people that are just so – say, keep it up. It's so appreciated. But the publisher, when this case became public and everything, he didn't want me to write about COVID specifically until the case got settled. Well, it's been 2 years almost since this has gone on. Mm-hmm. So the Tribune will occasionally write an article or publish an article from a different paper talking about the vaccines and talking about this and that. And so I point out to Butch, I said, well, your mission statement is to publish both sides of an article, of an opinion or something.
Yeah.
So since you guys are writing these and publishing these articles, you know, you got to follow your statement and let me write a rebuttal to it. And so I've been able to do that 2 or 3 times.
Okay.
And so even though they don't want me to directly write about it, you know, I am in a rebuttal. So that's a...
There you go.
So, Doc, is this happening in Idaho too?
At a state level? Somewhat it is, a little bit. But it is still a little bit. But Dr. Ryan Cole.
Yeah.
We know Dr. Cole.
He's been here.
Yeah.
Have you done him too? Good.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are getting, what am I doing here?
Those people like you. We want them all.
Well, I'm really honored then if those two guys have been on your interview and other ones. Because they are really the cream. And they're really giving you the best information.
We had possible. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya sitting over there.
Really?
Dr. Ryan Cole sitting right here on the same show.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
I got to ask, I'm not trying to be rude here, but I have to know, how old are you?
I'm going to be 84.
You're going to be 84?
Right.
Yeah. How long have you been practicing medicine?
Well, I got my medical license in 1967.
Wow. Okay.
And so then, you know, I went into military. I interned in the military.
Yeah.
Man, I hope I look as good as you at 84. Seriously.
I'm still fighting like you at 84.
Yeah, for real. Absolutely.
For real.
Well, if you get your regular prostate exams, you will.
I remember that. So in all your years, one of the things I think is...
how are you going to come back from that?
I'm not going to.
How are you
going to
recover?
That's like 60, 70 years of medical practice.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things that I'm...
And this medical association is telling you, you shut up.
I'm getting there, Gabe. Hold on.
I know you're mad.
Where I'm going.
I'm doing the math.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm old enough to be your grandpa.
I'm trying to work through the prostate thing still. But one of the problems that we have currently right now is that us younger folks don't have any older folks to give us the wisdom and the knowledge historically. We don't have the same historical narrative. Have you, in all of your medicine and all your work and all your years of being here, 84 years, have you seen anything like this before?
No, not exactly. But, and some things I've written about before, over the centuries, there's been many things that mainline medicine absolutely forbid, and in science too.
Yeah.
You know about Galileo and Newton. They were tried to be shut down because what they were talking about was not acceptable. Yeah. And there was an OB doctor named Semmelweis. And you may have heard about him, maybe not. He was in the 1800s. And he realized that the women that were delivered by MDs had about 3 times or 4 times the mortality rate than those delivered by midwives.
That's right.
And so he checked that out and came to the conclusion that it was the midwives that were washing their hands.
They washed their hands. They didn't clean
it. Oh, wow.
And the docs were coming from autopsies, you know, just those gross things contaminated and not washing their hands.
Blood contamination.
Right. So it took about 50 years before that was accepted. And as a matter of fact, when he was kicked out of the medical societies and he eventually was put in a sane asylum, he escaped from that, but then they caught him and beat him to death because he was still saying these things that were not acceptable.
You're still only at the first stage. The insane asylum is coming next.
He's
not been in the insane asylum yet.
They're trying to put him there.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of other things that are very important, like this whole thing about sugar that's good for you and the fats are bad. Well, that was in the 60s and so, where two Harvard physicians were paid by the sugar industry. To put that study out that sugar is not bad for you.
That's where you get the spoonful of sugar.
Right. Well, and that's why you have all this obesity now, and these kids, you know, that are still eating all that sugar, and they're going to have terrible problems throughout their whole life.
Right.
And then a doctor who found that that most gastric ulcers were caused by bacteria. Well, this was in the 80s or so.
Okay.
And he was at Harvard, and they kicked him out because that was unethical to say that. And the only way he could prove that this was the case was he infected himself with the Helicobacter pylori, which is the name of the bacteria, got the ulcer, cured himself with taking an antibiotic, and then they accepted this, that, well, this may be true.
Wow. So, maybe.
Now, could have gone either way.
Now, stop beating him at least.
Well, they then agreed that that was the probability thing. And then in my field, the way of doing modern cataract surgery with the instruments that were done, that was completely verboten by the mainline docs. The use of implants that are done on everybody that gets cataract surgery, those were really forbidden too for a long time. This whole refractive business, which I did the first ones in the Northwest, those were again just slash and gash. Now, just like everything new, there are some learning things, but they outlined the whole concept this should be done this way.
Wow.
And so nowadays with modern cataract surgery, you're in and out within an hour or two, and you go about your normal activity. When I was a resident, 60 or 70 years ago, whatever that was, patients were in the hospital and laid at bed rest for 6 or 7 days.
Wow.
Because they didn't really suture the wound. Because it didn't have small enough suture at that point. So it was just put back in position, and it had to start healing by itself. And so the incision now is about the size of a millimeter or two.
Yeah.
And so that's why you can get up and do your normal activity. So there's been many things that mainline medicine and the establishment have said, well, this is stupid. You can't do it. It's illegal, and you're immoral to do it. But,
So, Doc, I mean, you saw this. We've talked to Dr. Cole, we've talked to Dr. Bhattacharya, some of these other, Dr. Malone. You've heard from a lot of other doctors who said, we wish we could say this, but it seems like there's still a pretty large percentage that didn't see it. They heard the narrative. They went along with the narrative. And I guess my question is, why not you? I mean, why do you think you?
That's a good question.
I'm glad you asked it because there's several reasons. One, in medical school, I didn't really know enough to know that I could question anything, and that fortunately at that time I didn't have to question much. But when I was in the military, I saw the things that pilots that had like 10 or 12,000 hours of flying killed themselves and others. Because they made a stupid mistake. One of them was at the XO, the executive officer of the detachment where I was. There was two planes that flew from Verona to Milan to pick up the new commanding two-star general for the Southern European Task Force, CTAF. And they were to land in Milan, which they did. And the first plane took off, no problem. The second plane with the XO and the major general, he takes off, but he's pointed at the short end of the runway, and he crashes and kills himself and the general. And then there was a couple other times that I could have been, because I was trying to get on that flight because I needed a few hours.
Wow.
So I could have been on that and killed.
Wow.
And there's two other times at least that I could have been killed in military aircraft. So my initial thing was, I see that these people are supposed to know all this and they're supposed to be competent, make mistakes.
Yeah.
And then when I got into practice and saw the things I was in, read about, knew the things I just outlined of all the things that medicine and science said you couldn't do, I said, well, that's not right. So when this thing came up with COVID, I said, this doesn't sound right either. They're using a vaccine that's never been tested. It's never – usually vaccines to be approved, it takes 6 or 7 years.
Right. So you had copious vision.
Right, yeah.
Hey, look at you.
And so when that happened and I saw that this was just like the pharmaceuticals, I realized how much influence pharmaceuticals have. Most of the income from magazines or the journals is from pharmaceutical money. Because they'll rebuy the print of the article that they want printed. And a lot of times, to get something printed or funded, it's usually the pharmaceuticals or the government, because that's how much money it takes to get these things published.
Yeah.
And so when you don't come up with a negative result, well, that doesn't usually get published.
Right.
Or if it's not what they want, you may not get that published either.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure on physicians and researchers to publish what is going to keep your salary.
Keep the money coming in.
Right.
Wow.
And that's a terrible thing. As a matter of fact, two of the editors of The Lancet about this was like 20 years or 30 years ago, he said that even then, at least half of the publications were fraudulent.
Wow.
And many of them had to be retracted. And there's same thing with some of the American medicine stuff. It's not true.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Wow.
And so.
But if it's, is, if it's like, a narrative and it makes some money.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you peel back this onion and things are a lot more corrupt than you realize. I remember I had a buddy who coached football at Wazoo, Washington State University, and coached football at other schools and everything. And
all
he,
of it.
He told me, I'm not going to say the other schools because then people might figure out what I'm talking about. But he said at one college, not WSU, they knowingly graduated people who couldn't read.
Yeah.
They had their the tests would be in their coach's office. The players would come in, get the test, sign their name on it, turn it in.
So they didn't take the test.
They didn't take the test. They come in and pick it up though.
We talking about athletes?
And it's not, yeah,
football, are we surprised?
Football athletes. but what was my brother had his little 13-year-old son. One of his assignments at school was to do a little research project on the Pac-12, what was back then like the Pacific Coast Conference or something like that, back in 1920s and 30s. And they found in 1930s the Pac-12 was so corrupt that they hired a former FBI guy to come in and kind of just tell us where we're all corrupt. And all the schools signed a document saying, hey, we're going to be punished for our past sins.
We're just
gonna expose everything. We're gonna start over at zero, right?
Okay.
So this FBI guy comes in and finds all this corruption. And 2 years later, he turns in his report, and the report was so bad they burned it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like never went public. And I think in the same way, like you start peeling this onion in the medical profession,
right?
And you start realizing, well, this has been corrupt for a long time,
right? Well, you know, and it's getting even worse with this wokeism that you guys talked about. The medical CAT exam, that's the test you take to prove you have enough brains or enough knowledge or enough thinking ability to be able to do medicine, that's been essentially eliminated. It was dumbed down for.
That's because it was racist.
Yeah.
It's very racist. And sexist.
Well, I want to hear it been dumbed. What do you mean dumbed down?
Well, they changed the difficulty level of
questions. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then they got it to the point where it's just pass fail.
Right.
And so if you're looking for somebody.
Yeah. Wow.
And so if you look for somebody to become a resident or on your staff, you try to find out, you know, what level they were.
Was it good or not? It's like all you see is pass fail.
Yeah. Well, so that's the problem with it. And this thing you talked about with DEI, DEI is getting even worse. The same thing with the attorneys. You know, they don't have to take a MedCAT anymore. It's just because they want to practice law that now they're allowed to do it just because they have the desire. And the same thing for medicine.
They self-identify as a lawyer.
Right. Yeah.
I love that. Why aren't more of your professionals standing up like you?
Well, there are a lot. You know, Dr. Bacciatore, Dr. Malone, all these big guys, and there's a lot of them. And you don't probably hear a lot of them because there's names that come up that I haven't heard yet. They're involved in suits and stuff, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But there is a lot, and they've given up a lot. A lot have given up whole careers, and you know, they've been shut down, kicked out of medical schools where they have the cure rate of COVID was outstanding, but it was done inappropriately, or inappropriately. So,
Do you think that one of the things we've talked a little bit about? I forget the guy's name. Yeah,
could I come back to that just a minute before I get distracted?
Ahead. Yeah.
And I've written there. I'm not really unhappy too much with the docs who see patients. You know, that they have their own self protection that they need to do for themselves and their family. But if all the docs stood up and they were all kicked out of practice, what happens to all the patients?
Yeah. They follow the docs.
Well, no. If they lose their license,
they follow the docs.
They follow the docs.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask
but
you.
But you can't practice without a license.
But we follow the docs.
I don't need the government.
Well, I guess that's actually what I was going to ask. Is it seems like there's at least I know it's a very 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 tiny minority, but there's a we have doctors in town, for example, who are doing direct primary care type stuff. They don't take any insurance money. They're not taking any federal fundings.
Yeah, good.
And really trying to like cut the strings as much as possible,
right?
So that they're free,
right?
We've got a friend who's doing a surgery center here in town, and there's another one already. There's a kind of a free market surgery centers that are starting to open up.
Yep.
I'm just wondering. I mean, do you? I mean, I hear you. I mean, and there's this, there's absolutely, we've joked about this around here because too, because I'm a little bit more on the, like, I do want my doctors to have that license. And he's like, I don't care.
but I want him to be around for 60 years doing it.
Yeah. But that's what I care, but I guess I'm wondering, do you think what, I mean, give, put your prophet hat on for a second. And do you like, do you see, I mean, are we so corrupt that a lot of this is just going to have to sort of, I don't know, it's going to die, and something new is going to come up, or is there going to be like an alternative version of like licensing? And
well, there's several points to that. One of them would be lawsuits, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Please remind me if I forget.
Okay. Lawsuits.
The problem with a lot of medicine is it's corporatization now. Yeah. You belong to a medical group, you belong to a hospital staff, and if you don't practice the way they want, you lose your job.
It's mobster based.
Right. Yeah.
It's mobster. Yeah, well, you're exactly right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the remedy, I think, is coming up from a lot of the attorneys who have courage, like my two, and a couple of other ones. As a matter of fact, guy running for the attorney general, Mr. Serrano.
In Washington?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's from Tri-Cities. He was working with me on my cases to begin with.
Interesting.
They're filing lawsuits all over for this kind of a thing, plus patients being injured. And it's been difficult because you can't get money from the government because the way the law is written is that the vaccine makers are immune.
Right.
Unless they have done fraudulent. Or then that opens it up.
Yeah, go ahead, Doc. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, but that's, I think, going to be the thing that changes a lot of this is when some of these people that have made these laws, like Collins and Fauci and Burke and all those kind of things that promoted this, and the FDA had said, well, I can't say that word, matter of fact, but not FDA, but another word.
Okay.
But
the Foundational Discipleship Association.
But when some of them may get personally held responsible, and when those kind of things happen, then there's going to be a big change.
But I haven't seen that happen yet.
Well, I think it's in the process. There's a couple of attorneys from Florida that are working in Texas on a couple of cases that are going to be this thing. These people are going to be held responsible.
It strikes me that there is something sort of related back to the Dawkins thing. Actually, it's like, I mean, people in America, we want medicine to work. People want to be healthy. They want to have doctors that give them good information.
Right.
But you can't have good medicine if you don't believe in the truth. If you don't believe that God made the world a certain way.
That's right.
I mean, despite all the mistakes that even Christians have made.
That's right.
The fact that Christianity is true, the fact that God made the world a certain way means you can always check it.
Right.
And then there's good answers and bad answers over time.
Right.
And it seems to me that, like, you know, the whole DEI woke thing. I mean, I was actually picturing as you're talking about the pass fail thing on the exams and the standards going down. I'm thinking of like the door flying off of the Boeing 747 or whatever it was that, it's like, it actually, like, truth matters and quality and excellence matter. And when you just say, well, what's more important is that we have certain quotas of people, sexual deviance or certain number of racial ethnic categories, not quality.
Right.
Well, that has an effect on reality.
Yeah. Well, that's in certain states. if you have the right answer in math questions, you may be called racist.
Because, right.
Yeah. And I used the thing in one of my articles about, well, if under DEI, if you got a guy that builds a bridge and he's got a yard gap on the roadway, and if you complain about having that, and you're called racist because you do, or you crash your car and fall into the red thing. So,
But you want to tell us about lawsuits.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about. These ones that are happening. And there's one that, a doctor or a Mr. Fulmich, he's in German. Okay. And he's been, working for a couple of years on cases in the world court, against this stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of good work being done. It just isn't publicized. Just like you don't hear about much of this stuff because the media is cooperative and keeping it quiet.
I appreciate your optimism about this because I also think, like, that's something that's really, really important for us to hear from our fathers and grandfathers.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah. I mean, you've seen some things.
Yeah.
And you alluded to that earlier, that secularism is kind of fading off, and that's what I think is happening too.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of young people in a lot of kind of religions and stuff that are understanding this. You know, like it seems always the young people understand more than the old people.
Well,
sometimes.
Talking about Gen Z.
I think the way God made the world is that, I mean, there's supposed to be a communion,
symbiotic relationship,
a fellowship between the old and the young.
That's right.
So that we learn from one another and watch out for one another. And that's what, I mean, I think we're supposed to be embodying in the church in particular. When we gather together there, we have the older reminding the younger of what has happened before. And then there is new insight and new creativity that's shared with the older generations, and we're blessed. But I think so much of what modernism and secularism has tried to do is divide the generations.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the whole thing has been to get rid of the family.
Yes, absolutely. You
know, that if they can get rid of family, and that was talked about in 1960s or even earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Dewey came out. But there was a...
this guy's read.
I know.
This guy's read some books, you guys.
He knows Dewey.
Yes.
Well, but there's this man, I'll think of his name in a minute, but he was the head of the Education Assistance or Association, and he says we have to get rid of the knowledge that the parents are passing on to the children, because we want them not having any allegiance to a state, to a God, or to their family. We want them to have allegiance to the group that provides for them.
Wow. Yeah. And fundamentally, I mean, a lot of that was aimed at a kind of statism, though.
Right.
They wanted the point of unity to be the state.
All right.
The government, rather than family, rather than church, rather than local communities.
Well, that's why, you know, all the minorities, you know, and Charles Barkley, he said this thing. He said that the blacks have been voting Democrat for 60 years and they're still poor.
Yeah. I know it. Yeah. I know it. No, you're absolutely right.
And so then how do you explain people like Dr. Ben Carson, or Thomas Sowell?
Yeah.
How do these people who were, you know, in poverty and everything, how did they get to the point that they, that's not because they're.
It was DEI that got them there.
Well, if you,
it was a social credit score.
If you ask Justice Thomas, he would say yes. Yeah. That's the problem,
right? I meant to mention him too.
Yeah. So no, it is so good to talk to you.
Yeah,
it's so good to. I mean, anything else that we haven't asked you about?
This has been fun, great and fun, and I appreciate.
Well,
you guys are very, very, very intelligent men.
Haven't been here long enough.
No,
thank you.
Did you just hear what he said about DEI a minute ago? I mean, come on.
No, man, it's been absolutely a pleasure to be up here.
Please keep us abreast of your case.
Keep fighting.
I want to know about this case. We want to follow it.
Well, it'll be national news probably.
Okay.
Well, I don't think we didn't talk about it as much, but the thing that's on the table here is not just the medical side, which is super important, but the freedom of speech. I was wondering.
Yeah, First Amendment.
First Amendment stuff, because in this case, you could really have journalists say, wait a second, I need to know too what he's talking about, because this is an alternative to what the narrative is.
They silence him.
Now the people don't. The Fourth Estate isn't working. This is a huge, huge case. Has massive implications. Yeah. Go ahead.
But there's a Dr. Renata Mood, who was a pediatrician and was at WSU in Spokane. A very, very good doc.
I've been in touch with her. I think.
And she testified at Senator Johnson's hearing.
Yeah.
And because of her testimony, she was essentially fired.
Wow.
And the main thing she testified about was she pulled out a package insert, which is still the case. One of my relatives who is in medicine daily says it's still the same. It says intentionally left blank on both sides. And what the insert is supposed to do is to list all the complications that a patient needs to know so he can make an informed decision if he wants to take it.
Wow.
And that's for the vaccine?
For anything.
Oh, okay.
It's federal law that be done, but it's not being done. The pharmaceuticals can, again, get away with stuff because, you know, however, whatever connection they have. But it's you next time you get such.
You're not feeling suicidal.
I'm in touch with them.
Not just making sure.
Like, you're a pretty happy guy, right?
You're happy.
You love Jesus, right?
I mean, you know. Well, keep us abreast of your case. Man. I'm really interested to see how everything goes. Appreciate you so much.
This has been great.
Appreciate it, and thank you, guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're single, get married. If you're married, have you some kids. And if you have kids, go baptize them until tomorrow. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic.
That was good.
You know, now that we're off the air, there is one thing that I didn't agree with you guys talking to begin with. And that,
oh. And, well, don't say it in the mic. We like this. No, this is the exciting part.
No, this is, he don't want this recorded.
This is off topic, but...
Today we are going to be talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse Always Ready Bundle available at armoredrepublic.com. It's a very practical kit, including everything that you need all the way from hydration to first aid to general purpose to magazine holders and to a very comfortable plate carrier. So included is the Testudo Gen 3 plate carrier, and we also have two C3 plates that I've included in the bundle. So these plates are multi-curve, multi-hit ceramic, so they can take multiple rounds. I really like these plates because it's going to offer level 4 protection. Thank you guys for watching. Again, you can go to armoredrepublic.com, linked below, and you can purchase your Kyle Rittenhouse Always Ready Bundle today.